This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Brightside Home Theater.
Hey, home theater nerds, welcome to the Brightside Home Theater Podcast, the podcast that's all about the sights, the sounds, the scenes, the experiences. And this experience, we're going back to the year I graduated high school, 1988, and we're going to revisit They Live, the cult classic in 4K. Can't wait. But before that, hey, if you're watching this on YouTube, don't forget to hit that subscribe button down the bottom if you like what you hear here. If you don't like what you hear, it still doesn't hurt to hit subscribe. Please? subscribe on YouTube, on iTunes, all those other great places. You can also support me on Patreon at patreon.com/brightsidehomestheater. If you don't know what that is, go there, check it out. You could sign up and give a monthly donation, as little as a dollar. But not really necessary, but it would be greatly appreciated. Also, you could support me by following me on Twitter at BrightsideHT, or you can email me at BrightsideHomeTheater@gmail.com. And you can just send me emails, tweet at me, and let me know what you're thinking about home theater. And we talk about that on Tuesdays on my audio only podcast on Tuesdays, where the listeners take over and we talk about questions, comments, and critiques, all that fun stuff. But today we're talking They Live in 4K. Rowdy Roddy Piper, Keith David, or is it David Keith? I keep forgetting that. Oh, no. Don't screw it up again. Keith David. So, all right, and I'm going to screw that up over and over. I know I am. So, all right, this movie from 1988, not the greatest 4K HDR in the world, but for this movie, it's great 4K in HDR. It was so much fun. Some great, vibrant images, great colors popping off the screen. We're going to talk about it right away in the opening scene when we get to it, the way that opening scene just jumps right out at you. And the sound, it's an Atmos track. It's a little front heavy at times, but a lot of ambient sounds around the room, some fantastic pans throughout, some 3D sound effects going on that really add some depth to your room. We're going to talk about that. I really enjoyed this. I have never seen this movie look or sound this good, but let me jump right to the chase here. I recommend this movie because I love this movie from the 80s. It's a cult classic. It's something that you definitely should own. I can't say it's the best home theater experience I've ever had. I would never say that, but I think what this movie means, how much fun it is, how crazy it is. And it's a great representation to me of the 80s, of the action, of the graphic violence that they had in their movies back then. And the message that this movie is sending, just, you know, pay attention to your surroundings, people. And it's just a fun movie in that way. But as a home theater experience, I can make the case that it is a lot of fun. I'm going to show you some pretty intricate little details in there that don't need to be there, but those are our favorite kind. And there's some decent bass here and there, and there's some pans. So you can't go wrong with pans, right? I love pans, left to right to left, back to front, over the top, all that fun stuff. So we're going to check out all that good stuff in there, but let's open it up. Where do we open with? Always open. The popcorn is popping. Yep. We're going to open with the opening scene. And what more is there to say about the opening that... the score coming right out at you when they bring in the score, which was really nice. Brought it in right from the front of the room, the stage. But before that, we just had a black screen and you could hear the trains going by, just ambient sounds of the city. And then the picture, when you focus in on that graffiti wall, when we had John Carpenter's They Lived on the left side of the screen, and then that gets superimposed over the graffiti wall. It just, I don't think those colors have ever popped like that to me in the past. It looked really, really nice. And the They Live in graffiti, you know, sprayed on the left side of the screen, almost had a 3D effect at first, but then settled into the wall like it should because it's spray painted on the wall. I thought that was a really cool effect. But I also liked how the whole room was filled with sound, the ambient sound, like I was saying. And then you hear the score, that that score was heavily towards the front of the room, really putting you like you're watching what's about to take place. Like you're the viewer, you're set back from it, but you're kind of in the city, so you have it around you. Thought it was a pretty cool opening for a movie that's, you know, fairly old. I thought that was pretty cool. Up next at 4 minutes and 5 seconds, In the Park. And this is where, you know, Rowdy Roddy Piper shows up to the park and the blind preacher man is speaking. And the reason I stamped this one was check out the lush green grass and how beautiful it looks. Again, I don't think it's ever looked this good in before. I mean, the 4K, the HDR, the just the vibrant colors. And look at how that is separated or contrasted, I should say, by the red bricks. And they're not really red, bright red. They're accurate. They're like look like faded bricks on the ground. But the green grass, the bricks, then when they get in closer on Roddy Piper, you see like the detail in his face, the pores and the texture to his leather jacket and everything. Just a lot of beautiful scenery here that just really jumps off the screen at you. I was pretty impressed by it. Really impressed. The grain was a little heavy at times, but I didn't think it was awful throughout the movie. And this scene here really shows how nice this image really pops. Let's see. What do we have next? Up next at 8 minutes and 2 seconds, I called this one Cars. And this is where Roddy Piper and Keith David's character, Frank, they catch up to each other, or Roddy Piper catches up to Keith David. And they have a little conversation on the sidewalk, but the cars going by, you know, one of my favorites, the panning from left to right, the cars are zooming by. And the first car that goes by, very evident, you can hear it left to right because nothing else is going on. I mean, you can hear ambient sounds of the city around you, but nobody's speaking. And then I think Keith David's the first one to speak, and he says, "I don't like nobody following me," or whatever he says. And very prominent, very clear, center channel, great dialogue right there, great sound coming out of the center channel. But pay attention to the little the cars that are, they're in the foreground, panning by from left to right. It's still panning. They didn't just turn it into a subtle sound. It's still panning from left to right. And then there's actually a car coming down on the left side of the screen that faintly feels like it's on the left. It's not 100%. I think it's a little bit too front center heavy for me. They could have put a little bit more to the left side, but it was there. And just the fact that your ears are hearing the pans go back and forth of the cars zooming by from left to right while they're talking was pretty cool. And then that car coming down the street, it was more of a trick than it was actually towards the left. I felt like it was a little too center heavy, but I still thought it was a fun scene for something that's obscure. Like I say all the time, like they didn't have to do that. We would have enjoyed the dialogue. We would have got the scene. Everything would have made sense, but they still go in and put those pans in there for us. And I appreciate that. All right, let's move along to 12 minutes and 20 seconds. I called this 3D sound. And this one's going to take a little bit of an explanation. And I'd love for you to go to this and hear what I'm talking about here. This is, like I said, started at 12 minutes and 20 seconds. But the ping that I'm going to describe actually comes into the room off of the front of the room at around 12 minutes and 40 seconds. But you have to start at the 12:20 to really get the imagery that the sound is working here. So what this scene is Rowdy Roddy Piper is showing, and I can't stop saying Rowdy Roddy Piper. Roddy Piper is actually, they're all watching the television. It's nighttime, and this is the first time where we start to see a message being sent through the TV and scrambled images or whatever. But as they're listening, they have this ominous music going on so that you're supposed to be paying attention to this. The blind preacher is mouthing the words that are on the TV, foreshadowing that he knows what's going on. but the sound, it starts at the front of the room, and there's this boom, like a deeper sound to the score, like a boom. And that's at the front of the room towards the left side, okay? But then followed by that, it goes boom, and then a ping after that. At the 12:20 mark, when you start there, all of it is at the front of the room. It feels very much a part of the screen. But at the 12:40 mark, that ping starts to move its way into your room and down towards the middle of the room on the right side. There's no particular speaker that this is attached to. It just feels like it comes off of the front of the room. The earlier sound, the deeper one, still anchored to the front left of the room, and then that higher pitch comes into the room as this scene plays out, and it happens over and over, and I felt like the ping got even more prominent moving into the room. It was just a cool effect that I listened to over and over to make sure I was hearing it right, so that's why I'd love for you guys to try it, because it's pretty cool that it just like, that to me has like almost no explanation other than just like a 3D sound. And it really added some depth to the room. And it was a lot of fun to watch and listen to over and over. And like I said, it was a boom and then ping. And that second ping, I'm so good at sound effects, huh? That second ping was right towards the middle right side of the room. Right, hovering right on the right side of me there. It was really, really cool. All right. Hopefully that's a good enough explanation. Let me know what you think. Moving on to 22 minutes and 40 seconds. More 3D sound. Aren't I getting creative with the names? I'm sorry. I don't know why. I just don't have anything more creative for this. But it's more of what we just heard, but this is at 22:40. And it's different sounds, but it's really cool. It's like you have some clicking, like almost like snapping going on, and that's at the right rear of the room. But then there's some other clicking going on, a deeper clicking going on towards the front of the room. Just a lot of fun. A lot of fun done with this score, creating a real nice sense of depth inside the room. Definitely check that one out as well at 22:40. And this is where Roddy Piper finds out that, or he sees the helicopters overhead. It's nighttime. They're spying on the building. They see the helicopters looking at the building. The guys come running out of the building. But right when this all happens, it's more of that ominous type score. It's like, that's when it comes in. He's like, you know, trying to figure out what's going on. So, yeah, check that one out. 22 minutes and 40 seconds. Then at 35 minutes and 50 seconds, sleep. And this is where Roddy Piper first puts the glasses on. So this is where we're first introduced to this entire conspiracy theory. And it's not a conspiracy theory anymore. This is reality, at least in the movie. And he starts to look around. And obviously, the HDR, I think, really adds to the punch here. Because I think the black and white scenes through the glasses look nice and crisp and clear. And then the vibrant color of what is, quote, reality, which is actually in reverse, because that's not reality because we're under the spell. So I thought that was really cool. But why I called it sleep is because as he starts to look up and he sees, I believe it was on top of a traffic light and that little satellite dish spinning around, the sound isn't coming from that, but he can hear the ominous, the sleep, sleep. You know, the subliminal messaging that's supposed to be going on that you can now, for some reason, he can hear it when he puts the glasses on. But that subliminal sleep, sleep. It, again, this comes off the screen. Like, at first, you can just barely hear it. I mean, it's deep, it's there, and it's at the front of the room. But then, as he's looking at that, and I'm only saying that as a marker for when you're watching the thing. I don't think the sound is literally coming from that satellite dish rotating. But when you see that satellite dish, you'll know what I'm talking about, because the sound comes off the screen, and it's coming from everywhere and nowhere, all around your room, just that sleep, sleep. And it's all around your room. Really, really cool use there, because there's other stuff still going on around your room that are anchored to where it should be, like traffic towards the front and little ambient sounds all around. But then that sound of the sleep, sleep, really filling the room. Really cool effect right there. Really cool. Really enjoyed that. Up next, at 42 minutes and 16 seconds, this is for all of you bass fans. This scene, I gave two boxes of popcorn. This scene was a lot of fun, and I had to go back and forth. And hopefully you get to enjoy this as well, because this is deep, this is low, and it's, if you're not at reference level, you're probably not going to feel it. So at 42:16, Roddy Piper is in the bank, and he has to, quote, you know, he runs out the back, okay? He has to escape, his getaway. That's why I called it getaway. And he goes down this back alley, and while he's running down the alley, he's got the shotgun. You'll see the picture on YouTube that I referenced. And while he's running down the alley, there's this bass that's underneath, way down low, that it's in the score, and it's just boom, boom. And I could feel it in my back. I could feel it in my legs. It was just this vibration that came up through me that was just so subtle. It was so minor, but it was there, and it tickled. And I went back, I watched it again, and I'm like, there it is. And it's as he comes through the door and he turns to his left to run down the alley, and he just starts jogging, and you can hear and you can feel, more importantly, you can feel that bass. It's just very low, but it's there, and it's a low but high frequency. Like, it tickled a little bit. It was boom. It was awesome. Awesome. Check that out. 42 minutes and 16 seconds. Again, you got to be at reference level to get it, but it's there. It was awesome. All right. Up next, at 56 minutes even, put on these glasses, three boxes of popcorn. This isn't a special effects movie. This isn't this scene, anyways, I should say. This isn't about special effects. It's not, it is about the sound. This scene goes from 56 minutes all the way to 1 hour, 1 minute and 30 seconds. So what's that? That's 5 minutes. And it's the fight scene between Roddy Piper and Keith David. David Keith, which one was it? I always get those two mixed up. Keith David, that's right. Sorry, Keith David. The fight scene between those two is, it takes, like I said, 5 minutes. And the sound in this is so brutal. My wife was wincing. She couldn't handle the sound. And when you're watching this movie at reference level, these punches, the sound that they use to show contact, I'm like wondering, did they actually hit each other and record it? It sounded so real and so brutal. Towards the end, when Roddy Piper hits his head on the concrete, on the asphalt, his head, and you can hear, and it just sounds so brutal. But again, 5 minutes of those brutal, crisp punches to the face, the kicks, the hitting the ground. Fantastic scene. For a fight scene, I thought this was probably one of the best and most realistic sounding fights. It was a lot of fun. But again, 5 minutes long. They just keep going at each other. Of course, you know, Roddy Piper being a wrestler, they had to put this in there, had to have a great fight scene in this movie. But I think it's one of those underrated fight scenes that not a lot of people talk about. And now that I've reviewed this movie and am reviewing this movie at the moment, I won't forget it. And if somebody asks me, like, what's one of the best fight scenes you've seen? This is one of them. 5 minutes long of two guys just literally slugging each other. And the sounds that they use, so good. So good. All right, let's move along to 1 hour, 1 minute, 57 seconds, a little swelling. And this goes along with the last scene, with the fight scene, because check out the makeup job, the swelling on Roddy Piper's face, on Keith David's face. It's insane. They did such a good job here of making them look beat up. And they literally look like they have been punching each other in the face for 5 minutes straight. And with the new 4K resolution and the HDR and the clarity and everything, I think the makeup holds up well. Everything looks great. It looks realistic. And, I mean, they look beat up. All of that kind of ruined because, like, a minute later, their faces are all cleared up again. They're all nice and ready to go. I don't know if that really can happen that way. But I thought when they jump right to that scene, they're walking down the street, they both have their sunglasses on, and you just see their faces, and you got to laugh. It's just, they're so beat up. And then they go into the hotel, and they look at the guy, and they're both just standing there with their faces just pounded and just swelling everywhere, red and all that. It's so good. Looks so good. All right, let's move along to 1 hour, 13 minutes, 38 seconds. Raid! They don't actually say that. But this is where the resistance gets infiltrated by the bad guys. The cops show up and they're the bad guys. And they come in and they just start shooting. But really nice explosion to open things up and literally open up the wall, blows the wall up. Little kind of a jump scene. If you hadn't seen this movie before, jumps right. I mean, it's you weren't expecting it. And the base here is pretty good. There's one part halfway through this raid where one of the resistance people has a grenade in his hand and he's about to throw and he gets shot. And then the grenade falls down. They cut away from that. And then you hear it go off to the left side of your screen, left side of the room. And it sounds really nice. Nice big explosion, nice bass, nice full bass out of it. But I thought throughout this scene, which is a lot of fun, don't get me wrong, I really enjoyed the scene. I thought that the gunplay, the gunfire was a little bit high-pitched for my taste. I would have liked a little more fuller sound, but that might just be a case of the 80s. I don't know. But it felt like it was a little too tinny, too high-pitched for the gunfire. But that, like I said, throughout this, there's gunfire all over the place. Most of it's front heavy, but then at times you can hear it around you because there's a lot going on. And pay attention for the bass explosions too, because you can hear those and they are localized around your room, which is a lot of fun. Really cool. All right. Jumping to 1 hour, 16 minutes, 2 seconds, watch malfunction. And this is where Keith David and Roddy Piper, I keep saying that, they're in the alley. The bad guys are coming and Keith David's playing with the watch and it goes off. But the sound that you get when this watch turns the ground into this portal to another, well, to the subway apparently, or something below it. But the sound in your room, it just, you have the ambient sound of the alley, the gunfire, the police are coming down the alley. And then all of a sudden, everything around you, the voice telling you the watch has malfunctioned and you have the countdown to jump through the little portal, all of that going on all around your room, filling the room. Awesome sound. But then when Roddy Piper finally jumps through the hole last, check out how the ambient sound in your room changes too, because you go from being in that alley to now all of a sudden you're underground, the portal closes, and you're in this, like, you know, subway type area that's a little bit more echo to their voice and stuff. But a really cool change to the ambient sound in your room there. Really enjoyed that entire play of sound in that scene. So next up at 1 hour, 22 minutes, 5 seconds, the tour. And this is where David Keith and Roddy Piper are getting the tour of the enemy's facility. Or Keith David, I'm sorry. Screwed it up again. How many times have I screwed that name up? David Keith, Keith David. Blah. All right, so Keith David is in this movie. But anyways, they're getting the tour. And there's not a lot here to write home about as far as scenes and sounds and stuff like that. Unless you're a home theater nerd like us, and we love the little details. Check out the little detail of sound movement as they leave the main room. They were talking in the room, so like at 1 hour and 21 minutes and 50 seconds, they're seeing everything around them. They're in the room, computers, people are working on computers all around them. And then at 1 hour, 22 minutes and 5 seconds, they are leaving the room. They're going through a doorway into the next room. But pay attention, it's very subtle, but pay attention to all those computer sounds and the people working around you. They start to focus in and then pan to round and pan by you. As they go through the door, all the sound that's in that room goes to behind you, goes in behind you, just like you're stepping through the door. Really, really cool use there. Very subtle. And again, one of those things that if they don't put it in, nobody's complaining, but it sounds fantastic. And it's such one of those little details that I love to hear that stuff. All right. Next up, we have our final scene at 1 hour, 29 minutes, 10 seconds. F it. That's all I'm going to say. This is a family show. that's what Roddy Piper says at the end after, of course, I mean, I honestly, the first time I saw this, I didn't see it coming that Keith David was going to get killed in just such a brutal way. It was such a great surprise ending first time seeing this when I was a kid. And you're just like, oh, my God. And even my wife watching it, she'd never seen this before. And watching it, she was like, oh, wow. I'm like, yep, there we go. I thought it was fun watching her reaction, too. But yes, so this final scene at 1:29, 10 seconds, it's when Roddy Piper is on the building. He knows he's going to die. Both the helicopters are pointing at him. And he wants to take out that satellite, take out that tower to end all of the charade to the world. And he says, F it, and then shoots the tower. The base there is really nice. I honestly thought the HDR looked really good here against the black sky. It had a little bit of depth to it from a movie from the 80s, and the bright lights from the helicopter, the colors of the helicopter, the colors of Roddy Piper's shirt and, you know, the flannel that he's wearing. I just thought it looked really, really good. And it goes along with the bass too, and the sound and the bright lights of when he finally shoots it, and the explosions are bright and the sparks and everything. Two funny things from the scene that I thought were really the two deaths. The death of, I forget her name, but the bad guy, the woman that ends up turning on him and who shot Keith David. She, when she dies, she faints backwards, perfectly backwards, stiff, like all of a sudden, just like rigor mortis set in, and she just falls over on her shoulders. And then when Roddy Piper dies, he goes in the same fashion, just like faint backwards, directly backwards, not like your legs give out and you fall to the side or anything. Those looked really funny. That was textbook 80s death. Like, oh, and the arms coming up, I thought were good too, because the arms stayed out. Like when she died, she had the arms out with the gun, and then her arms stayed in the perfect position while she fell backwards. I thought that was pretty funny. But great ending, great scene. Lots of fun. Really, really enjoyed this movie. I hadn't seen it in a long, long time, and seeing it in 4K really, really did it justice. Not the best 4K HDR in the world, as I said, but it was a lot of fun. And I thought it never looked better. I thought, as I just pointed out, I thought some of the scenes really popped off the screen. I thought the sound was fun. And it's just one of those cult classics that you just can't go wrong. And I thought they did a decent job here on the 4K HDR. And really, really enjoyed it. And I recommend it, highly recommend it, because it's one of those cult classics that it should be in your collection, because it's just, it meant so much back then, and then paying attention to what's going on in the world today, and you're like, huh, some parallels, some weird stuff there. And it's like, not that I'm accusing anybody of anything on any side. It's just, this is how everything has always been that way. And when you look at the world today and you think it's crazy, and it's like, this movie's from the 80s and it was about crazy times. So it's always crazy. Just roll with it. Push play in your theater and have a good time. That's what I do. All right. That'll do it for this week. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Questions, comments, all your comments. Let me know what you thought of this movie. If you think it's a dumb movie, you think it's a great movie. If you've seen it in 4K, let me know. We'll talk about it on Tuesday. Listeners take over Tuesday. Questions, comments, critiques, all the fun stuff on Tuesdays. We'll see you then. Don't forget, hit subscribe on YouTube. Hit subscribe on iTunes. Go to Patreon. Support the podcast there. Patreon.com/BrightsideHomeTheater. All that good stuff. Thank you very much. Follow me on Twitter at BrightsideHT. And until Tuesday, have a great weekend, everybody. And go push play.
Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey, Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.